Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Thursday, December 6, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Jared Petty, alongside Santa Claus himself, the Rogue One.
That was, are you going for a speed run today? That was very, very fast.
Intro. So?
That yeah, was, a little too quick. That was like how quickly, it was kind of like when you do the terms and conditions at the end of a financial service. That,
yeah.
The value of stocks will go down.
This medication may cause you to have irritable bowel syndrome. Or gas with oil discharge.
Suicidal thoughts and death.
Yeah, lords of death, indeed. Yeah, kind of funny may cause colonoscopy. All right, there we are.
Sexual nightmares.
Huh? Sexual nightmares. It's my new band. Anyway, who the heck are you?
So it's I guess it's Twitter Thursday. Greg texted me this morning and said that in the final run up to finalize the Kind of Funny Games
showcase,
which is quite a big deal. I don't know if you've had a chance to see any of it, but it's a big deal.
It's kind
You're
of
actually
deal.
In it. I saw a little clip of you in it.
I do pop up in there.
Yeah,
at one point.
You popped up.
I think for like 1 second I'm in there.
Like 2 or 3 seconds.
Maybe so. Are you in there?
No, they didn't ask me.
They didn't ask you.
I wasn't going to bring it. I wasn't going to bring it up. But since you did, Jared. No, I wasn't in there. But it's very, very good. And I know that, you know, it's the final hours to cross all the T's and dot the I's and make sure that the production values. I mean, maybe they're waiting. I mean, maybe they're going to shoot my bit. Like, maybe they're just waiting.
No, it's locked.
Save the best part. For last.
No, the video is literally rendered and
done. So there's no chance
done.
Of me being in the showcase.
Not at
point.
All. Not in the least. Okay. No. You're completely out of the loop.
That's fine. Look at my face. Do I look bothered?
Yes. You do look bothered, indeed. Look at that face.
Do I look bothered? Do I look like I
You're
care?
You're practically Robert De Niro into the mirror
they,
right
what,
now.
What, 30 people maybe? It's probably 30 or 40 people. To contribute to the video, and I wasn't one of them. Do I look? Do
You're
I look? Look, I mean, look. It should be obvious. That
that
I
wasn't a day.
I don't care.
Greg sent me an email and was like, "You can turn this in for like a week. Go ahead,
dude. Be cool."
Yeah, it's like do it from home.
Well, I can only assume it got lost in the email.
This, ladies and gentlemen, is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we bring you the news you want to know about video games and all stuff related to them. You can sponsor us, back us, help us out at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames if you want to, and we hope that you will, and there are good reasons over there to do that. One, it helps us make the show. Two, it makes us feel better. Three, there's all kinds of lovely exclusives over there that you can check out, and we recommend it. You can also watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, just as some of you are right now, or watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. I am Santa's happy elf, this is Santa Claus, and it's time for some housekeeping. The Game Awards Watch Along is tonight with Andy and Tim, starting at 6 p.m. Pacific time. That's 9 p.m. Eastern.
Are you going to be participating in that? Will you be watching the Game Awards?
I was not invited.
Oh wow, that makes
everyone's
got
it.
There we go. I was at a,
it's the Billy No Mates Club over
look
here.
At that. Me and, that's right.
Me and Jared not getting invited to all kinds of kind of funny works. Related activities.
We're so left out. You
so
and
we'll just do our own thing, Jared. I don't care.
Okay, fine.
I honestly don't care.
Not upset like about it at all. Kevin, can
look
we,
at how
can
much
we
I'm
get,
not
can
caring.
We get the no care camera back up for Gary? That's no. You don't want me. No, there we go. Okay, now you can cut back to me.
Bless him.
Oh. I don't care.
There we are. I don't care either.
You don't care.
I care so much. The Kind of Funny Game Showcase is Saturday. We have 60 games. 6-0 games to show you. We couldn't be more excited. It's impossible. If we were more excited, we would die. Several people have already almost died in the making of this video. Tim Geddes may yet not survive, but he's definitely excited. Come see what we got Saturday, December 8th at 10 a.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're out and about, you can follow Kind of Funny Vids on Twitter or catch the showcase later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. That there showcase. And then, following the showcase?
What? Oh, after party.
Indeed.
Smash Brothers.
The after party. And guess what? We did get invited to that.
I did. Well, I think what happened was I invited myself to it and nobody said that I couldn't come.
Okay. But I actually got an invitation.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I didn't get one. I just assumed that this is the only way I get to doing it is I just show up and hope that everyone's too polite to say, well, Gary, you weren't really invited.
Do you think you're like, I think at this point you're almost a Christmas special waiting to happen.
I am the cousin Oliver.
You are the little match girl.
The Little Match funny. Girl?
Yeah. You remember The Little Match
That's
Girl?
That's sad.
The most depressing of all Christmas yeah. stories? About the little
Doesn't
girl.
Doesn't she die?
Yeah, she dies. She like lights little matches to try to stay warm, and when she runs out, she freezes to death.
I'm on my last match right now, Jared.
Last
I just
match.
Want you to know.
All right. Well, come play Smash
Saturday.
It's burning
down to my fingertips.
Come play Smash Saturday, and you'll find all the matches you want to see. Matches.
Oh,
that's right.
It's good. It's good.
I'd like to declare to the good people of the world that despite the fact that I'm terrible at Smash Brothers, you can watch me wipe the floor with these chumps using only a single Switch Joy-Con turned on its side. That's right.
We're not going to do that. Just so you know, we bought more.
Oh,
Switch
yeah, Pro they have more. They have a whole box of Pro controllers out front.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, it's okay.
Well, I might still do it.
I'm surprised you didn't get more of those GameCube controllers for like real old school action.
We're trying to wean ourselves off. It's
oh,
time.
Yeah.
You know, it's time.
It's time. It's Sponsored time. Today by 23andMe, Brooklinen, and Robinhood. But we'll get to that in a minute because... Wait.
Real quick, let me just add one thing. Today
oh,
at four,
throw me off here, Kevin.
Today at 4:30, we actually will be streaming Smash before the game show starts.
Well, or that's rad. 4:30?
Yeah. What is the thing that we're doing today?
The thing that we're doing today is
Video
the watch along for the
yeah.
Game Awards.
Yeah, dude, I'm tired too.
I understand. Yeah, okay, so that's the watch along starts at 6. So an hour and a half before the watch along at 4:30, we're streaming Smash.
Yep.
How on Twitch.tv,
so
it's kind of funny.
Like, so you're going to have like a little inset with the kind of funny jokers talking over the awards? Is that yeah. the is that
have
the
you
idea?
Never seen our content?
I've seen it, but I didn't
no,
know what
okay,
you were doing
cool.
specifically
it's
for the game awards.
Gary,
it's cool.
This
we
is why
year.
You're not invited.
But
I'm just
I'll
saying,
forget, you know what? No, but it's cool because as we've established, I don't care.
Ladies and
I
gentlemen,
I don't care.
We're almost 7 minutes into the episode and have not gotten out of housekeeping. The YouTube comments are going to be delightful today. Are you ready for that,
Let's
Gary?
Let's have a fun one today, Jared.
You know what, Gary Weta? I think it's time for us to say that we're going to give the people what they want. And what they
Look,
want
I came
more
in
of
at
us.
The last minute. I shouldn't even be here. I don't know if I'm getting paid. I don't know what's going on.
They pay you?
They pay me very little. And I don't know. I imagine they're paying me. But even so, I want to have fun. So let's have fun.
Let's have fun.
Let's have some fun with it.
Let's talk about the video game news of the
I
day.
I love video games, and
it.
I love news about video games.
Then you're in the right place, Gary Whitta.
I am. That's why I do this.
This why do you love. Do it. You have that cutting wit, that thrilling acumen.
You know what they say? Find something that you love,
okay,
and you'll never work a day in your life.
That's so untrue.
They also say you'll never stop working. I'm so tired.
Teach a man to fish, and he'll start to fish. You know, let's stop this. It's time for what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Six items on the Roper Report today.
The Baker's Dozen.
Nicely done, Kevin. First off, Red Dead Online's beta economy is being adjusted. This press release straight from Rockstar Games to my inbox. We want to thank the Red Dead community for playing and sending us tons of valuable feedback during the first full week of the Red Dead Online beta's availability. This feedback is crucial to help shape the game as we move forward. Today, we're starting to implement the first set of adjustments in the game, including changes specifically geared toward creating a more balanced, fun, and rewarding overall experience across all modes and missions. These include... increasing the cash and gold payments across a number of different activities, including free roam missions, free roam events, replays of a Land of Opportunities missions, showdown series modes, and more. Number two, reducing the prices of most weapons in the Wheeler, Rawson, and Company catalog and the Gunsmiths. For players who already purchased weapons at previous prices, we will automatically deposit the difference to player balances.
Oh, that's nice. The grandfathering backdating. That's
yep,
what they're doing. They're
yep.
backdating the discount.
They're backdating the discount. So please look for an alert message next time you log into Red Dead Online Beta to notify you of the change. Refunds may take up till Monday, December 10th to reach all eligible players. Third, balancing the values of select pelts, skins, and fish, as well as horse reviver and pamphlets. Of course, our efforts to improve and balance the beta will continue. We are conscious of and still evaluating an assortment of further adjustments based on feedback from the community. We're currently working on fixes to some persistent bugs that are causing some players to be kicked from sessions. We aim to have fixes for those live next week. We also continue to review all the feedback and suggestions, so please keep them coming to reddeadonline.com/feedback. As an added thank you for playing and helping us through the beta period, we're also awarding everyone that joined in to play Red Dead Online Beta at any point through midnight PST today with a gift of 250 Red Dead Online dollars and 15 gold bars.
What? Wow.
15 gold bars.
That's like a lot.
I wonder if there's going to be a lot of people rushing to get in before midnight because they want to get that bonus.
Gifts should start arriving today and it'll hit all eligible players by Friday, December 14th. So the gifts may not arrive immediately. Once again, we want to thank everyone for playing the Red Dead Online beta and sharing their experiences so far with us. There's still lots more to come, so please stay tuned. Gary Whitta, your thoughts on that long little read there?
Well, I mean, it all seems like business as usual, doesn't it? You launch one of these online services and there's an economy and there's a lot of issues that need to be worked out. In the whole point of a beta, we forget, when we say beta, we forget the second part of that is test. They're testing stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm not surprised to hear that they're still going to be making these tweaks years in. I mean, they're still tweaking GTA Online, which has been going for years. So this is brand new. They're still figuring out how to manage the economy, how much things should be. It's one of the trickiest things. I mean, Blizzard eventually ended up hiring like actual economists to help them manage their World of Warcraft economy, because one of the fascinating things about it, I always find this really interesting, is that once you start a virtual economy and let live players in and they start trading and doing things with the in-game currency, that becomes an economy as real as any other.
Oh, yeah.
And it's subject to the same rules and whims of the laws of economics.
Yeah, and the laws of economics being delightfully fuzzy, you're never quite sure what's actually going to happen. I mean,
you can have boom period, you can have bear and bust periods, you can have all kinds of certain things. And so, you know, this was to be expected, and it does sound like Rockstar are being, I don't know how much a gold bar is worth.
A gold bar right now is a pretty big deal.
So 15 gold bars.
That's a substantial...
Mind-blowing.
Substantial give out there.
So that's very nice.
Contextualized with how the economy's worked so far. Let's put it that way.
So that's quite generous.
Yeah, gold bars are used to accelerate purchases on a lot of things, and there's some things that they're specifically kind of targeted at that you really want to have. So that's a pretty big deal there. Kevin plays. Kevin, what are your thoughts on this news?
Honestly, I'm super excited, and I need to put it on. Like, man, and it sucks because I don't know what time I'm going home today. So it's just one of those things. It's like, man, maybe I should log in here just to make sure I get this done. Because I want to jump in.
Well, if you've already, it seems like you're going to qualify for the 15 gold bars if you've already been logged in at some point.
Sorry, I thought it was like today.
Anyone
who's been logged in up to today.
But if you've ever
you got 15 gold bars coming your way.
I'm excited.
Well, you know, they did something similar as not exactly the same, but if I remember correctly, it's been like 5 years. They did something similar as a make good when GTA Online launched in an unstable state, where it was really hard to play. And a lot of people did get effectively a bunch of free cash as part of a, hey, sorry about that, guys. If you played, and it was a significant amount of in-game money. In this case, the launch has been more stable, but you've still got people saying, well, wait a minute, the economy's obviously not done. It's not as balanced as we want it to be. So I'm glad they got on it quick. I want to see what the balancing looks like. I think there's a long way to go. I also think that they know that better than anybody.
Show me the online virtual economy that came out of the gate fully mature and fully balanced and fully functioning. I don't think it's ever happened. So this is fine. I think this is a good piece of news. We expected there to be little glitches along the way in the economy.
Yeah.
And it does sound like Rockstar is handling it with a lot of generosity. So I applaud them.
Yeah, so far so good. So let's see how it goes. I am definitely excited about going in there, grabbing that, and getting some stuff.
I don't know if it's the same, but I got a gold bar in the single player game, traded it in, and it was worth about $300.
Not the same thing. No. Gold bars are their secondary, like, that's the currency that you use to get ahead of the game.
Oh, it's a separate currency. Okay, like, there are things that you can only buy with gold bars.
And it seems very likely that gold bars will be tied to how real money eventually pays in when you get to that part of the
game.
Yeah. Number two, Fortnite Season 7 adds a snowy map, terrain, planes, and weapon skins. This from Michael Kazuwara from IGN. What's up, Michael? Been too long. Fortnite Season 7 is upon us, and the giant update patch has added a new snowy section of the map, along with new usable planes and weapon skins. The southwestern portion of the Fortnite map is now covered in snow. Three new locations, dubbed Frosty Flights, Polar Peak, and Happy Hamlet, can be found in the new winter-themed area. older areas like Flush Factory and Greasy Grove have undergone major changes. Icy surfaces cause players to slide. X4 Stormwing planes are the latest vehicles to join Fortnite, this time allowing you to attack from the skies. Expedition outposts are scattered about the map where players can easily find planes. Other improvement in mobility includes the addition of zip lines, which allow you to quickly travel to and from higher areas. Wraps are customizable skins for your weapons and vehicles. These brand new additions to the Battle Pass can be applied to weapons through your locker. A number of weapons items were vaulted with this patch. Say goodbye to Shadowstones, Chillers, Clingers, Shockwave Grenades, the Portafort, and the Double-Barreled Shotgun. The launch of Season 7 also brings the start of the new Creative Mode. Here, players can customize their own private island, which can be saved and used at any time. You can see the... There we go. So, Mr. Gary Whitta, what are your thoughts on this here Fortnite?
I mean, okay.
Okay?
I don't
Not really, thrilled?
I don't play, you know, I don't play Fortnite. Uh-huh. I feel like Fortnite's one of those things. From watching the Twitch chat yesterday, I got one, because we were talking about creative mode on Fortnite yesterday on the show. And I get the impression that if you like Fortnite, you probably already know this news and you're very excited about it. If you don't like Fortnite or you don't care about Fortnite, a lot of people right now who are watching the show just want us to move on to the next subject.
To be fair, we spent 8 minutes on housekeeping.
That was awesome, though. We were talking about interesting things. We were talking about how much I don't care about not being included in the showcase.
Kevin, can we have the I don't care cam for Gary, please?
I just want to clarify again, I don't care.
He's looking at the wrong camera.
Look at, which camera am I looking at? Which one is me? This one here?
Say it again.
Oh, that's me.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Ladies and gentlemen, a kind of funny community of somebody out there at the end of the show, and I'd wait to the end, can create the Gary I don't care supercut. We'd really love to see it. That'd be nice. I think we need an I don't care.
Because I don't. I don't care, Jerry.
You don't care?
I don't care.
How many?
I'm just trying to give the editor more material.
To
at
use
this point.
The parlance of our times, how many fucks given?
Zero.
Okay.
Look at all the fucks I don't give. What are you doing?
All right.
Are you moving?
I'm tightening the focus.
Out of focus? All right.
My I don't care cam is out of focus.
It was just a little.
This is not acceptable.
That you do care about.
I care about that. I care about not being in focus.
Well, a lot of people do care about Fortnite, and I think it's really
do
cool that they
Fortnite,
continue.
Jared?
Not particularly.
See, you don't care either.
I do care, because Fortnite's doing it right. Because despite the fact that Fortnite, not really my kind of game,
yeah,
they're doing it right. It's a cosmetics-based, continually supported, continually expanded, always growing economy where weapons are getting put away and new ones are coming out and planes are being introduced, and I think this is groovy. But here on the Shock Mic, ladies
we've
and gentlemen,
activated Joey.
Miss what Joey have
we
Noel.
You said we've
Hello.
Done something wrong.
Hello, Joey Noel.
You haven't done anything wrong. I'm just saying that I care about this Fortnite update.
Excellent.
And I'm very excited about it.
Expound.
Wait, Gary.
Do you have questions?
I was just going to ask Gary if he cared.
No, I don't care. now that I know the right camera, I can work through a problem.
So stupid.
Joe, are you a Fortnite player?
I am a Fortnite player. I'm not very good, but I think it's fun.
She's team leader, actually.
I don't know that that's true. I mostly play on my Switch docked with the Pro Controller.
Okay.
I'm really excited about this. I think the last two battle passes have been very fun because they've had fun skins and additions with all the holiday stuff. And I'm a sucker for all of those cosmetic items.
Mm-hmm.
I think the addition of the plane is really going to be really fun. I've already seen some like super crazy clips coming up on the Fortnite
subreddit. I read something this morning about how people are playing it like Battlefield now with planes and everyone's jumping in planes.
Are the planes armed?
Yes. Okay. There's something similar to the... Not machine gun, I forget what they called it. But it does overheat, so you can't just totally spam it. So that'll be really fun. I think the new snowy terrain is cool, and we saw with last season with the addition of chillers of the sliding mechanic and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see how that works with having an entire subsect of the map like that. I'm trying to think of what else. All of those things I'm very excited about.
Those are all great things. Again, they do it right. I'm not trying to be a fanboy. I just think that Epic has really paved the way for how you do a live service game just about perfectly this year. Accessible on every platform, crossplay, free, all the cosmetics you want, constant support, constant changes to the game, quality of life improvements. I'm it's just
well, they great. Have to get it right, don't they? Because they have stumbled into this golden goose.
Well, you don't have right? to get it right. I mean, look at all the other people that spend years getting it wrong.
And, what I mean is, it's very important to them in this case that they do get it right because they've got this massive cash cow right now, and if they mess it up, then they're going to lose all this money that they've got coming in is going to dry up. That's why I admire the fact that I can't believe you motherfuckers got me talking about Fortnite. I don't care. I don't care. About
Kevin,
Fortnite.
You sleep at the wheel.
I'm trying to tell you how much I don't care about Fortnite. Having said that, I do admire the fact that they add in these quite major, potentially game-breaking, like putting planes in the game is a big deal. That is something that could theoretically break the game. Well, people are like, oh, I don't like the game. I'd get into this to fly planes around. Suddenly I'm getting shot from the sky. I'm not into this. I'm out. I guess, you know, if it doesn't work out, they'll just take the planes back out again. But I admire the fact that even though they have got this massive money-printing machine, they're not afraid to mess with it and try new things and add different features.
Well, yeah, it's still a really young game in beta. You guys got to realize that.
Yeah, number one game journalist, Andy Cortez.
Still in beta, of course, which is like, just stop calling it in beta. Like, this is the number one.
Is it still officially in beta?
Yes.
That's crazy.
It's like season 10 of a competitive, or what is it, season 8? Season 7.
Seven.
Yeah, it's just, get rid of the beta name. But yeah, I do agree with you, Gary, how they're willing to take these risks because they know if they don't work out, just remove them.
Just take them back out, yeah.
Eventually, the turrets will be gone, hopefully.
All right, before you go, Andy, before you go, actually, and I want all of you, we are going to play a new game here right now on Kind of Funny Games Daily. This game is called Does Gary Care? I want you to say something you really care about. And Gary, you're going to tell us whether you care or whether you don't care. Kevin, are you ready?
Yeah.
Andy, what's one thing in this world you really care about?
The Spurs.
Which ones?
I knew it. I knew it. That's why I asked. you're thinking Tottenham Hotspur, right?
I do care.
Ah, there we go.
About my beloved Tottenham Hotspur, I do care.
Pokemon Snap?
Pokemon Snap? I don't care.
Kevin Coelho.
Clerks the movie?
I don't care.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Wow. That doesn't mean I dislike it. It just means I don't particularly care.
Follow-up question.
Clerks the movie?
Lord of the Rings?
Don't care.
Oh.
At least we're on even footing.
Not even the novels?
I liked the books when I was a kid, but I haven't read them in years.
I recommend you go back.
No, all right, enjoy them.
Ooh,
let me talk about this world. Let me lock.
Yeah, I remember them being a bit of a slog, to be quite honest.
Yeah, that's how I describe them. A slog.
Yeah.
Here's something that I think you will care about, Gary Whitta. If I know you, you can be count on to care about when.
What am I going
to
care about?
People in our community kind of get screwed.
I do care about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sad to report there's more Fallout.
Oh, Fallout, no! Fallout.
This from Luke Plunkett at Kotaku. This is one of the stories I genuinely feel bad about having to read.
You know what we need? We need some kind of button we can press or something over there on Kevin's board where whenever a story about something terrible happening with Fallout 76 happens, you get like a...
Well, they made, you know, kind of there's a Fallout like 4 bomb with a sound thing.
Yeah, well,
in
that's what we that's what we need. Every time there's like more, there's another Fallout bombshell.
Do we have that bomb?
No, we don't.
We don't have that anymore. No. Okay.
Well, I don't think we ever had it.
You don't? They never sent
it. Do you have some? Do you have some kind of nuclear alarm that you could play?
No.
No.
I mean, I could look.
You've got all that technology over there, a whole world at your fingertips.
Yeah, but ironically, and this is pretty ironic, the graphics machine right now is broken, and the only thing that's really broken about it is the sound won't come out of it.
Oh, well, that's what I'm asking for. I want a sound.
No, I understand. That's why it's ironic.
I'll do it. Do it again. Do the intro.
More Fallout.
How's that?
Your klaxon's not bad. I believed that Das Boot was sinking.
Do you like that better, or do you like...
No, I like the first one.
Okay.
Kevin, what do you prefer?
Definitely the first one.
All right. Yeah. Okay. All right,
the second one's good, too, but it's a different kind of good.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. This
Fallout.
So off the rails.
When will this
so
end?
Happy.
What? I feel bad for Bethesda. Before we even get into the story, I just want to say I feel bad for Bethesda. They're a good company. They have a lot of goodwill. People love Todd Howard. They generally make great games. They must be really confused right now because they're in a position where the gamers don't like them, and they've got a game that has basically, I would say, been a misfire for them. They must be in a... I mean, they're like,
it's a misfire.
What is going on? I don't understand what's happening right now. People don't like our game.
It's become a grease fire.
Yes.
I mean, let's pop into this. Some of the people submitting tickets to get their replacement Fallout 76 canvas bag have encountered a surprise. They begin access to parts of Bethesda's support system. including the ability to open and close tickets, as well as check out customers' personal information. So, first off, this goes back to the canvas bag thing.
So, the canvas bag thing, I do remember. So, this was another. Yeah. This is another Aruga.
Yeah.
They offered in the Mega Deluxe Ultimate Special Super Duper Edition all the tchotchkes that you get. They do the big helmet and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And one of those things was a canvas bag, which in the photograph that they showed looked like a high quality kind of military grade canvas item.
Then
in reality, it looked like one of those reusable shopping bags you get for a dollar at Target. It was just a cheap piece of shit. So they were offering exchanges on those for a better quality item. Was that the...
Well, they had people to submit tickets to get that replacement, and going into that ticketing system allowed you to see other people's personal information.
Wow.
The loophole has since been closed, but not before a number of users on Reddit and the company's forums claimed to have been shown all kinds of things they should not have been shown. Giuseppe, for example, says, I'm receiving every single one of your support tickets on my Bethesda account. Mostly it's your receipts for your power armor and requesting a new bag. These receipts contain all your info, your email and home address, and the card you used to buy this extremely glitched game. Radioactive Trinket, meanwhile, says, I went on the support website today to update a ticket of mine and surprisingly ended up being able to see all sorts of tickets, with people putting their personal information on them, like receipt screenshots, names, addresses, etc. In response, a Bethesda community manager simply says on a forum thread, hi guys, we've resolved the issue. Now, this is as of yesterday.
This guy sounds like he's over it. You couldn't pay me enough money to be the Bethesda's community manager right now. There's not enough money in the world.
I can't believe this. This is from Luke. I can't believe this game and now its support is such a mess that I've had to write three stories about a plastic bag.
You know what I want to see? I want to see a story on Twitch where Bethesda's community manager is spotted in the wild wearing that Melania Trump jacket that says, I really don't care, do you?
No, we need
that
to...
That would be the ultimate scandal.
Bethesda's community manager, whoever it may be, has had enough crap in their lives this week. Because whatever else has happened here, I'm reasonably sure none of this is their fault.
Can you imagine being that poor bastard right now? Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Didn't this come up yesterday?
We got more. So...
Oh, there's more. Oh, so you're
no. Yesterday was a whole different Aruga.
This came up on Kind of Funny Gamescast.
Excellent. Yesterday. Sorry, my apologies.
From Bethesda's support Twitter, as of a few hours ago, we experienced an error with our customer support website that allowed some customers to view support tickets submitted by a limited number of other customers during a brief exposure window. Upon discovery, we immediately took down the website to fix the error. We're still investigating this incident and provide additional updates as we learn more. During the incident, it appears that the username, name, contact information, and proof of purchase information provided by a limited number of customers on their support ticket requests may have been viewable by other customers accessing the customer support website for a limited time, but no full credit card numbers or passwords were disclosed. We plan to notify customers who may have been impacted. Bethesda takes the privacy of our customers seriously. We sincerely apologize for this situation.
Look, we're having fun with this, but I do genuinely feel bad for them. We know that Bethesda are not—they're not one of the bad guys, right? I think Bethesda is one of those companies that gives a shit. They generally have made in their history the right moves. I think they've been a consumer-friendly company. They've made great games. They made the Fallout games, Doom. You know, so many games. You know, fucking Skyrim, Elder Scrolls. So many games that we love. And they've given us a lot over the years. They have finally, sooner or later, the law of averages suggests you're going to fuck up sooner or later. And it seems like all of the goodwill and all of the fuck ups that they haven't made over the years are now just queued up and hitting them all at once. And Fallout 76 seems like it's been this disaster in so many ways. Like, people don't like... What's going on?
Sorry.
Kevin, oh my God.
Do you care?
I actually... I'm trying to say, in this case, I do care. I care about the good people at Bethesda, and I care about the people who like Fallout 76 or want to like it, and I feel bad for everybody involved. They didn't set out to be lazy or stupid or inconsiderate, but somewhere along the line, they fucked up, and it just seems really unfortunate. Like, the game, people don't like it. It's got all kinds of problems. It just seems like it was an ill-conceived game to begin with. People aren't really having a lot of fun wandering around these abandoned areas, meeting, you know, there's no one to talk to. It's just kind of boring. The bag thing does seem like a bit of a ripoff. Like, I saw that story, and the bag that was shown in I don't know if you saw this, but the bag that was shown in the picture looked like a quality item. The thing that you actually got that people were posting pictures of looked like a reusable shopping bag. It was a piece of shit. So that was kind of unfortunate and not good. And now this on top of everything else, a data breach. My God, these guys can't get a break.
So everything you just said makes a lot of sense to me. And when I think about the situation within that led to this, within a company the size of Bethesda, things tend to be siloed. There's general oversight, but people are working on different parts of a big project like this.
Right.
It seems like thus far there were at least 3 or 4 major failures in different
breaches in multiple silos.
Right. So let's talk about one. Okay. First off, the game was not what it should have been. It was an experiment.
Yeah.
They tried something new.
Yeah. And for which they should be applauded.
Yes, but it didn't work out.
No.
Now, whether or not they should have waited to release the game, whether or not they could wait to release the game until it was more contentful, less buggy, etc., that is a very legitimate criticism I think people have leveled on the game to go, this was just not ready for prime time and not a good product for you to release.
I don't think that's what happened. I find it hard to believe that a company of Bethesda's pedigree knew that they had a game that was not great, and maybe they could have fixed it with 6 more months of development. No, we kind of have to put it out, guys. We got to hit our financial year or whatever. We know it's not great. We'll fix it on the back end. Let's put out this substandard game. I don't think that's what happened.
What do you think happened?
I think they genuinely thought that they were going to have a game that people liked, and they were just wrong.
They were just wrong.
They just got it. They just got it wrong.
Whichever case, bad judgment of one kind or another took place there. Either bad business judgment, and we got to get it out the door, or poor judgment in, wow, this is not what we thought it was.
Yeah.
That's one problem. Second, in a different part of the company that has nothing to do with that part particularly, the bag thing happened. And somebody in marketing or acquisition or manufacturing screwed up, and that product wasn't what was advertised.
Yeah.
Then third, in another unrelated part of the company,
yeah,
we have a data ticketing issue that was not set up correctly.
Right.
The people responsible for one of these things are not the same people responsible for the others at the operational level. Now, ultimately, responsibility for these kinds of things does rise to the top.
Mm-hmm.
That's unfair in a way, but it's also part of what, you know, when you take on the salary and when you take on the stock options, you also take on responsibility for these kinds of things. What I'd like to try to encourage people to do is to take their justified anger and frustration, because people have a lot of reason to be upset. If my name and address and personal information is released by a company through a bad ticketing system after they sold me a lousy game, yeah, you should be angry about that. You absolutely have a just,
because we've talked about
Bethesda, protect, but the fact is consumer trust was violated at many levels here.
Yeah.
But please don't take it out on Bethesda's community manager. Don't take it out on some operational level person that didn't have anything to do with any of those three decisions.
That's true, but unfortunately, it is their job to be the aegis.
Yeah, and what you when need to happens. Do is let them know how upset you are without trying to hurt them.
Yes,
that's the difference, folks.
That's the problem that I have with it. Is again, like, Bethesda obviously made a lot of mistakes here, but the kind of person who says my tchotchke bag isn't quite as high quality as I thought it was going to be, like some people have real problems. That's not a real problem.
Well,
I understand you've got every right to be annoyed, but don't you know what it's like? I guarantee you that if you were to look at the Bethesda community managers' emails or the forums or whatever the method is for interacting with them, there's a lot of "I hope your family all gets cancer and die" type messages, which are completely inappropriate. You know they're there, Jared. You know they're there. So die in a fire.
And that's all right. Let's avoid that and go to "I demand a refund. I demand to make good. You guys should do better. I'm not going to buy your products anymore until you fix this." Keep it to that, because those are all justifiable claims. Just try not to beat the, you know, and, you know, if you want to put, anyway, I'm not trying to criticize a community who got screwed. I just want to remind you that many of the people right now that are having to answer the messages, yes, they get paid for it, and it's okay for you to be mad at them. Just try not to ruin their lives in the course of expressing your justifiable anger.
What do you think tomorrow's four alarm fire is going to be? Like the helmet that you got in the Ultimate Edition has asbestos in it or something? Like what's next?
Todd Howard is actually a Russian bot.
Okay. All right.
Those are my thoughts. Yeah.
All right.
He's never been real. He's just a Russian bot.
He's just a very impressive Russian hologram.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it is. That's okay. Coming tomorrow. I think we've had enough of that one.
Let's get on to some positive news.
Yeah, let's get on to that. So, hey, Below is finally happening. This from Matt Kim at US Gamer. This broke yesterday during Gamescast as well. Below, Cappy Games' long-awaited dungeon crawler is finally coming out next week, December 14th, for Xbox One and Steam. Below has been in development for 6 years. Below is a stylish and challenging dungeon crawler where your adventure travels into the Isle's procedural undergrounds and explores vast connected underworld. There will be monsters, traps, and treasure. 6 years is a long time for any game to come out, and Cappy Games certainly built a lot of hype over the years as Below was a mainstay at game conventions all over the world. It's good to know that we'll soon be able to uncover the full mysteries of the Isle. We can set off on our own adventures underground next week. That was a surprise.
I will check this out. I like a good dungeon crawler. Who doesn't?
Gary, do you care?
I do care.
Excellent. Well done. All right. Good to know you care. Yeah, I'm excited about
it. It's not that I don't care in general. I'm not a nihilist. There's a lot of things I don't care about, like not being in the Kind of Funny Games showcase. That I don't care about.
Okay, you don't care about that.
I just want to be clear how much I don't care.
All right.
But I do care about...
do you care about the renewal of season 4 of The Good Place?
No, because I stopped watching it.
Yeah, you stopped? It lost it, man. It lost it.
Oh, boo!
I mean, you can say whatever you want. That doesn't make the
I'm
show say what
I like that other people... I'm glad that there's content out there for other people. Like, it just never clicked
so
with me.
So you would say...
So I've got to wait for him to catch up. I don't care.
There we go. But I do care about Below. Normally, we'd have stuck that in new dates. But
how much do
I
we know about Below? It sounds like has a lot of it been shown. Would I recognize
You'd know Below if you saw it. They're not kidding about it being a mainstay. It was one of the shows like this is on the floor again. This is on the floor again.
Every PAX you go to,
yeah, it's like, okay. Hey, look, it's Below. When's this coming out? To the point that it was.
Now we know.
Yeah, so I'm excited about it. It's looked really good.
Just in time for Christmas.
Yeah, we'll know in a week. We'll know a lot more about it. This is one I'm going to play definitely. So I'm excited about that. Although it's going to be hard because Katamari comes out tomorrow, and after that, I'm not sure I'm playing any other games.
On Switch, right?
Yeah, Katamari on Switch comes out.
I do love Katamari. God. One of my all-time favorite soundtracks.
Jared?
Oh, what?
Smash is coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, Smash is Katamari.
Oh, God.
Katamari is a great game you can play by yourself. Smash is a party experience.
Yeah, I'm going to play Smash with my friends, and then I'm going to go home and play.
You do care.
What?
I do care.
Oh, no, sorry.
Get it on Jared.
Look at the shot. I fixed it for his hat.
I do care. Gary's way better at it.
Oh, yeah.
He just is. It's just, I mean, honestly, it's like, I don't know, like Ed McMahon hosting The Tonight Show when you cut to me. You know, it's just not the same. This Johnny Carson over here. I can't do it. Guess who said that? Was it Scott Sharkey said that? I remember. Anyway,
you really show your age when you talk about Ed McMahon and Johnny Carson.
I do, indeed. I'm an old man. I still remember Johnny. Number five.
We were talking about The Price is Right earlier. Old man entertainment that we enjoy.
Oh my gosh. Do you just want to talk about Plinko for the rest
of this? Let's talk about Plinko.
All right, Plinko.
Well, I mean, it is Games Daily, and it is a game.
It is a game.
And it's a game that is played not quite daily, but on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's kind of special. They hold it back.
Five.
They hold it back. Kevin wants us to move on. Do you care?
About what Kevin wants?
Yeah.
No. I don't care.
Thank you. How did you mess that up?
Seriously, someone out there, please, every one
of them.
The
supercut is coming,
Jared. And
someone's working on it right now.
And a counter. We need a counter, please.
Do you think, Jared, that by the time this is done, I will have said I don't care or I do care, because let's put them both in together, more than I said Windjammers on that other show when I said Windjammers a lot?
I mean, someone's going to have to count.
Because I think I said Windjammers about 37 times.
You did.
Number five.
37?
What?
No, wow, no. You just went... That's like two Clerks in one morning.
Yeah, right?
You just Clerksed again.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love that movie so much. It hurts me that Gary doesn't care.
I actually really like Clerks as well. Yeah.
There are other Kevin Smith movies that I care more about.
It's cool, bro. Don't worry about it.
What's your favorite Kevin Smith movie?
Probably Chasing Amy.
That's a great one.
Oh,
I like Chasing Amy.
Yeah,
it's been a different pace. Different pace.
Yeah.
Very different kind of movie. Yeah, absolutely.
God bless him. God, I miss him.
Yeah. Number five, Kingdom Hearts is coming to Disney World. This from the Kingdom Hearts Twitter account. We're bringing the magic of Kingdom Hearts to Disney Springs at Walt Disney World Resort from December 14th to January 31st. The Kingdom Hearts pop-up experience will feature a playable demo, a special Keyblade exhibit, and artwork for the game. Stay tuned for more info. Somewhere, Jonathan Dornbush is booking his tickets to Orlando. Somewhere, Alexa Ray Correa booking her tickets to Orlando just to go and play Kingdom Hearts a little bit early. So if you want to play a demo of Kingdom Hearts and you happen to be in Disney World from the 14th to the 31st, 14th of December to the 31st of January, you can play some of it early.
So we were talking about Kingdom Hearts a little bit before the show.
Yeah.
Because I noticed I was walking past a GameStop this morning and I noticed they had a big poster in the window. It's coming out in January. Now, I've never played a Kingdom Hearts game.
Okay.
I get it. I know what it is. It's like a big Final Fantasy RPG with Disney characters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. I think I might actually even play. My kid might really like it. Yeah. Because, you know, it's got the Disney characters in it. I think I'm going to give it a try. But there was something about it that I didn't know that you informed me.
Yeah.
That Kingdom Hearts fans are the worst.
Kingdom Hearts fans at their worst are, in
my opinion.
No,
you said Kingdom Hearts fans are the worst. Yeah.
Now, I want to be careful. Because I'm afraid. Jonathan Dornbush, Alexa Ray.
Yeah.
Kingdom Hearts fans, great people.
Okay.
Lots of great Kingdom Hearts fans. But Kingdom Hearts fans are like meaner Sonic fans. They want you to love what they love so very, very much. But they also hate you for not already loving it.
Okay.
The bad Kingdom Hearts fans are, in my opinion, the worst fandom in all of American popular culture.
Wow. That is really saying something, because Sonic is out there.
Yeah. It's as if someone took an angry, angry Sonic fan and then just took a syringe full of bile and injected it into their neck.
Oh, my God.
And that's what you
I can't even... I guess it's just, to me, Sonic is the absolute... The Sonic fandom is the bottom of the barrel.
Here's the...
So I don't know. There's something under the barrel that you're describing to me that I can't even understand right now.
Several really good Sonic games. Lots to love about Sonic. Lots of great Sonic fans.
See, I would disagree with you there as well, but we're just strictly talking about the fandom right now.
Yeah, but in the fandom, there can be some really... rabid, angry elements. Kingdom Hearts bugs me because it's so whimsical. It's about love,
right,
and opportunity and optimism. And then people are like, why don't you love this?
Why does something, how can something that positive,
yes,
and uplifting and fun and whimsical, as you say, attract such a toxic element?
Yeah, it's very much like evil Steven Universe fans. Steven Universe is the most pure and wonderful thing in the universe, and there's a small subsection of Steven Universe fandom. It's the same
now
way.
Is it that... But it's almost because they're the worst because they're the best, right? They love Kingdom Hearts so much.
They
cannot understand people that don't love it as much as they do.
That's not love. I don't know what that is. But that's
it's
not
an abusive
love.
Relationship.
That's love that's been put through a black hole and come out on the other side of the galaxy, twisted and evil.
Ugh.
Yeah. That's love. That's love that is Darth Vader with three of his limbs cut off, laying on a beach, burning on a lava planet.
But what? but what I'm saying is, their passion for the game isn't directed inwardly at the game. Which is to say, let's say if Kingdom Hearts 3 comes out and it does something they don't like, would there be toxicity directed at Kingdom Hearts and at the developers, or is there toxicity only focused outwardly at other people that don't love Kingdom Hearts and they can't accept that people don't love things the way they love
them? In my experience, imagine a shotgun, but it can fire in 360 degrees of hatred.
Wow.
Now, again, on top of this, there are millions and millions and millions of wonderful people that just want to embrace the spirit of Kingdom Hearts, which is about discovery, friendship, fidelity. I mentioned Alexa Ray earlier. She wrote a book about Kingdom Hearts. It's Boss Fight Books. Wonderful book. I absolutely recommend it to everybody here. It's great. It's wonderful. It's deeply touching and personal. But there are the people out there that are mean about Kingdom Hearts are meaner than I've ever seen about anything else.
Why do you think that is?
I think because already there's something fundamentally wrong with you if you're too into Donald and Goofy.
You think like those D23 guys that you see at Disneyland that have like every single badge? It's like, I get it. Like, Disney is great. Everyone loves Disney. But like, should you love anything that much? And like anything other than like
even
maybe
the
your
guys
own
with
kids.
The, no, because even the guys with the pins and the vests, okay, I'm okay with. But if it's the pins and the vests and then like mouse ears and Donald Duck web feet or something, then right. Yeah, that's the degree that I think is too far.
Right.
That's a little too far. Gary,
can you love a thing too much?
Yes. Yes, you can love a thing too much.
To the point where it becomes unhealthy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think,
and that's what you think is happening with this Kingdom Hearts. They love it so much that the love has been,
and they've suffered.
It's enough. Like they've taken love like beyond warp 10.
Yeah,
and it's turned into some.
They've gone
kind of,
to plaid.
Yes, they've it's gone
ludicrous
plaid.
Speed.
Yes,
it's ludicrous speed.
Yes,
that's what it is.
All right, ludicrous speed. Love.
Do you care
about Kingdom Hearts?
Yeah,
I don't know yet. Because I haven't played it, I'll let you know in January if I care.
All right,
I do care about the toxic fans. I find that fascinating.
Yeah,
and we have probably we'll probably be hearing from some.
Oh,
you're wrong. Got twice as long. Oh. Just in the time that we were talking about that, you're wrong. Went ballistic. All right,
number six, Resident Evil. Oh no, no. We're moving on. Resident Evil movie reboot taps 47 meters down filmmaker. This by Jesse Wade. I didn't put where this article came from, actually. Uh-oh. I want to give credit where credit is due. Oh, no. You know what? Because I didn't give credit here, we're going to skip this one. And really? The show's good. Yeah.
I'm looking up the article right now.
Oh, are you? Okay, it's by Jesse Wade, J-E-S-S-I. Oh, IGN. Thank you. Jesse Wade of IGN. Thank you very much. Constantine Films has hired 47 meters down director Johannes Roberts to write and direct the Resident Evil reboot, sources told Variety. We found out last year that the Resident Evil film franchise will be getting a reboot with a total of 6 films set to be in the lineup. Aquaman's James Wan will be producing the first reboot, who is known for his success in the horror genre with Annabelle and Lights Out. The previous film series for Resident Evil, which introduced 6 films, was based on the video game and starred Mila Jovovich in the role of Alice. The franchise has earned $1.2 billion worldwide and is the highest-grossing film series that is based on a video game to date. The most recent and final installment in the prior franchise, Resident Evil: The Final Chapter, grossed $312 million worldwide. Production is expected to begin somewhere time in 2019 with an entirely new cast. It's unknown if writer-director Paul W.S. Anderson, who directed 4 of the 6 previous films, will have any role in the rebooted franchise. While we wait for more details to emerge about the new Resident Evil film reboot, check out the recent news on the Monster Hunter movie that Jovovich is starring in and her husband Anderson is directing. Gary Whitta, Hollywood scriptwriter, filmmaker, Gary Whitta. Yes. What do you think about this?
Well, everything you need to know about this story is in the fourth paragraph. The franchise has earned $1.2 billion worldwide and is the highest grossing film series that is based on a video game to date. That's all you really need to know. This is a smart, perhaps inevitable business decision. We figured out that if we make a thing, that thing makes money. Let's keep making that thing.
Okay.
And they obviously got to a point where with the Paul Anderson and the Mila Jovovich version of it, they reached a point where that was, you know, either she didn't want to do it anymore or there was just creatively, like, they have mined it so down to the seam. They are grinding metal at this point. There is nothing left to do with that particular iteration, but they want to keep, same as the Harry Potter films, right?
Right.
Well, we ran out of books. Well, who cares? Let's just keep making them.
Yeah.
So, because there's too much money there's too much money being left on the table if you don't keep making them. So a reboot is the next logical decision, as long as there are
audience
members out there willing to give you money.
They had to reboot because the world, there's literally no one left on the planet.
I only saw the first couple of them. Have you seen?
It eventually goes full Mad Max. Like, okay. There's just nobody left.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Right. So you run out of people to turn into zombies. But you know, time machines, there's always a way. There's always a way, Jared. Life finds a way. Hollywood finds a way when there's money on the line. and they've done so here. They'll do a reboot. Good luck to them. Like I said, it's very simple. Thing makes money. Let's keep making thing.
Right. Is Resident Evil a franchise you'd like to touch? Would you put pen to paper on a Resident Evil script?
No.
How come not?
You know why?
Yeah.
Because I don't care.
There we go. And you know what, Paul W.S. Anderson, people sometimes give him a hard time, but I'll tell you what about Paul. He gets a movie made. Paul W. Sanderson.
He's made a lot of them.
He does. And as you know better than most, it's hard to get movies made.
It is.
That guy, he gets a script. He gets actors. He gets a film.
Done.
He gets a movie done.
He gets them
done. There's a Mortal Kombat movie. There's a Resident Evil. There's going to be a Monster Hunter movie. He gets them done.
He gets them done.
I admire that.
Yeah.
All right. Gary, you don't care about Resident Evil, but I bet you care about video games. Do you care about video games?
In general, yes.
All right, then. If I wanted to know what video games were coming out today, where would I look?
the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday. What?
I'm waiting.
You do the jingle. You have to do the jingle.
I was waiting for Kevin to do it.
Is this your first time doing
this? No, I've done the jingle many times.
All right, then let's get it going. Yeah.
Nice.
All right, good.
Beautiful. Out today, Battle Princess Madeline for Xbox One and Switch, Beholder Complete Edition for Switch, Carcassonne, I never say it right, for Switch, Conduct Together for Switch, The Last Remnant for PS4, Long Story, The Dating Game for the Real World for Switch, Jagged Alliance Rage for PS4, Xbox One, and PC, Rival Mega Gun for Switch, Ultimate Runner for Switch.
Can we pull trailers on a couple of these? Because there's a couple I would like to see.
No. No, we cannot. We are 50 minutes in and have not yet gotten to deals of the day.
That's an adult call, as I'm saying.
Sorry, I got to make the call here.
But I want to see Battle Princess Madeline.
I have to go drop off the thing.
Kevin, bring it in. Do I care what Gary wants now? I don't care.
Oh, shit.
That's harsh.
There we go.
That's harsh, dude. Right.
How's it feel being on the other side, huh,
buddy? I don't care that you don't care. I don't care either. I don't care. And I will be looking up these... I'm going to be looking up the trailers for Battle Princess Madeline and Long Story, A Dating Game for the Real World when I get home, because those titles compel me.
Those are pretty great. I
want to know... Sometimes a title just makes me want to know what the deal is.
No, that's great. Titles are so important.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're the anti-Care Bears today. Did you notice that? Like the no-Care
Bears.
Yeah,
we're the don't-Care Bears.
The don't-Care Bears. That's right. Deals of the day. GameSpot's Chris Reed reminds us that there's a surprise Xbox sale today for the Game Awards. So that's a pretty exciting thing, because who doesn't want to save money on games? And likewise, Matt Kim on US Gamer letting us know that on PSN, there's a Game Awards flash sale. I'm not going to read all those deals right now, but they are significant. So if you're in the Xbox ecosystem or the PlayStation ecosystem right now, and do it today, because there's not a lot of time on these, hop in and save a lot of money on AAA games.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey on Xbox for $40. That's good.
Yeah, lots of good stuff going on right now.
Battlefield 5, they just keep dropping the price on it.
Dragon Quest XI's $41 right now on PlayStation. That's a great game. It's a good
FIFA
good
19 for $30.
Etc. Now it's time for Reader Mail, brought to you by our sponsors. First off, 23andMe. Now through December 25th, the 23andMe DNA kits are on sale. 23andMe helps you understand what your DNA can tell you about you and your family story. It's named for the 23 pairs of chromosomes that make up your deoxyribonucleic acid, your DNA.
Very impressive.
What do you know about your DNA, Gary?
Well, I did 23andMe, so I know that I'm probably one of the whitest people on the planet.
Indeed?
Yeah.
What is your 23andMe ancestry report reveal?
That I'm like 98.9% British.
Okay, there we go.
And then the remaining part is like assorted other white European.
Well, I think we knew you were 98.7% British just by talking with you for 2 or 3 minutes. I mean, you practically exude blood pudding.
Did you know that Greg turned out to be more than half British? He's like 52% British.
Yes, indeed.
And yet his accent is still so bad.
52.5% British and Irish, 17.2% French and German, and so on. Greg Miller. It's easy to do. You spit in the tube provided by your 23andMe kit. Register your sample at the personalized 23andMe account, and in a few weeks you receive your personalized online report.
Have you ever done this?
Never done.
Looked into your DNA? You should check it out.
Never done it. Ancestry Composition Report with 23andMe's Ancestry Composition Report. You can explore where your DNA is from out of 150 or more regions worldwide. Want to know why cilantro tastes like soap to you? They can tell you. You can learn all kinds of stuff. There's also the ability to match musical pitch. If you hear a musical note, can you sing it back? What's that?
I can't.
You can find out in your report how all that works. Genetics play a role in that ability. You can find out how that works. And now, through December 25th, that's Christmas Day, to get 30% off any 23andMe kit, order your DNA kit at 23andme.com/games. That's the number 23andme.com/games. Again, number 23andme.com/games. We're also sponsored today by Brooklinen. You spend a third of your life in your sheets. This holiday season is a great time for the bedding upgrade that you need for you or a loved one. Gary, how much time do you spend in your sheets?
I was about to say, for me, it's more than a third. As you get older, you spend close to a half.
About a half.
And frankly, you're shooting for all.
Okay.
You're shooting for 100%.
Yeah.
Some days.
What's the longest you spent in bed recently?
I tell you what I did recently. I was so tired that I woke up at 7 a.m., got my kid ready for school, took her to school, dropped her off, came home, went back to bed.
All right.
Slept until lunchtime.
Nice.
It was sweet. That's so one of the benefits of being your own boss.
All night in bed, got up, dropped the kid off, right back to bed. Greg Miller swears by his Brooklinen sheets. He absolutely loves them. He informs me frequently what comes between him and his Brooklinen? Nothing.
Does that are we to assume that he sleeps in the buff?
In the buff, indeed. Just Portillo. He said that's the only thing.
I don't need to know that.
Yeah. The sheets don't just feel amazing, but they look great with over 20 colors and patterns to match. They also make towels, robes, candles, sleep masks, at all, etc., all of which make great gifts this holiday season. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just to listeners here at Kinda Funny. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code GAMES at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. And also sponsored today by Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. Kevin Coelho, you use Robinhood?
Indeed I do.
Is it very good?
It is very good.
Excellent.
Favorite part about it, when you're setting it up, you can link your bank account, and it is immediate. So if you want to transfer money in, boom, like that.
Kevin Coelho, does it make you a merry man?
Yeah, it does.
It does. Excellent.
Which of Robin Hood's merry men would Kevin be, do you think?
Oh, definitely Much the Miller.
Who?
He's Much the Miller, definitely.
I don't think I'm familiar with that
one. Oh, he's one of the oldest Robin Hood characters. Oh, yeah, one of the, he's the guy that's always in trouble. Like, whenever you're watching a Robin Hood movie and there's a guy stuck in a tree being chased by dogs or soldiers, and he's like kind of like a little guy that's definitely.
All right, I knew you'd go old school on me. I like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Much the Miller.
Robin Hood lore, big thing for me.
Oh yeah,
I wrote a very bad Robin Hood novel once that no one's ever seen.
You seem to know your onions.
I love my Robin Hood, but we're not talking about Robin Hood and his merry men of merry old England. We're talking about Robin Hood, which gives you something that other brokerages don't. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Instead, trade stocks and keep all of your profits with easy-to-understand charts, market data, a place to trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can learn how to invest as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, and track favorite companies with a personalized news feed, custom notifications for price movements, so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build a portfolio. Sign up at Robinhood.com or games.robinhood.com. That's games.robinhood.com. Games.robinhood.com. One more. Games.robinhood.com.
Got it.
Now, for reader mail. What? Wait, is there,
is there a jingle for reader mail?
No.
I like that.
You just added it?
Cool. I was trying to give myself energy. Really.
All right.
Yeah. So the reason I thought that you were going to do the earlier was because you looked like you were getting set. So that's why I had that long pregnant pause there.
I was getting set to do my part of it.
Okay. That's why. Yeah, normally I do it, but it looked like you were going to jump in. That's why there was a long pause earlier. All right. This one for EJ. From EJ. In this digital age, why aren't more playable demos released? Since I didn't like AC Origins, I thought I wouldn't like Odyssey. However, I had no way to play it. I couldn't play it on Google streaming service due to me not living in North America. So I pirated the game.
Oh.
Yes, I know it's wrong. And it's the first game I pirated since PS2. And holy shit, I love it. I love it so much that I'm going to buy it during the next sale. I want the updates and the DLC, and you can't do that with a pirated version of the game. If Ubisoft had put out a 15-minute demo of Assassin's Creed Odyssey, I would have bought the game day one. Maybe I'd buy more games if I could try them first. If a game is $60 and I'm unsure about, I'll just wait for a sale. But in doing so, developers don't get the full dollar amount. Gary, your thoughts on that letter?
Well, first of all, let's address the elephant in the room. We don't condone piracy in any way, shape, or form.
Gary, do you care?
About piracy? I do care.
There we go.
I care very much. I don't think you should. As a content creator myself, it annoys me immensely when people steal content because it's money out of the pockets of people that have worked very hard to make this stuff. Let's put that to one side. The point is well taken about what happened to playable demos. If you remember, in the Xbox 360 era, it was one of their platform rules. If you put a game on their platform, you had to have a playable demo.
Was that across everything?
On 360.
I remember there were a lot of demos on 360, but yeah. I didn't know there was a platform rule around it. I didn't know that.
I believe it was for everything that was on Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, I did not realize that. Okay.
You had to have a free demo. And I miss my free. There's a lot of things out there that I look at and go, eh, maybe. But I'd like a demo.
Yeah.
You know, the screenshots and the 2-minute video is not always enough to tell me that I'm going to dig it.
So why doesn't it happen?
I don't know. It's a very good question. And I think because having to carve out a demo, not all games are easy to make demos of.
Nailed it. I think
it's an additional, sometimes very onerous burden on the developers to have to, on top of everything else, carve out an appropriate demo.
My strong suspicion is that in many cases, what ends up happening is that there's a formula that says, here's how long it would take in addition to finishing the game at the last possible second, which is how often these things end up working out.
Right.
We also have to create a demo because just slicing a piece of a game off, not nearly as easy as it sounds. It sounds like the simplest thing in the world. It is not. That I do know. So they look on one side. Here's how much extra human labor cost we have to put into that. Versus here's how many more copies we think that'll sell. And I'm guessing that in most companies, the math.
See, it's just a very pragmatic equation.
That's my guess. And that stinks because I like demos too.
And I do think they move copies of games. So occasionally you will see it. Tetris Effect. One of my favorite games of the year had a demo. It was just for it was a time demo. It was just for the weekend. It was three levels. I was going to buy it anyway. Come on, who are we kidding?
Yeah.
But that demo sealed the deal for me. I was like, I'm definitely getting this because I love this and I want more of it. I think there's any number of games out there, whether it be in the Nintendo eShop or the PSN store or the Xbox store, that were I afforded the chance to play the demo, I might well have bought the game. Yes. But we'll never know, Jared.
We won't, although we, you know, companies do it occasionally. So somebody's figured out that for them, it works financially. For them, it works schedule-wise. For them, it works budget-wise. There's more. When I talk about carving in a demo, understand it's not just things like building it internally. You know, you've got to go through certification for things like a demo. You've got to go through the story. It's
a whole bunch of extra steps.
It's adding a whole new level of publisher relations. I suspect that as we approach the streaming first future, we will see a new rise of the demo again. Just prior to that really blowing up where we can just stream a bunch of games on a service. I'm wondering if like free demo-y versions of that same service will be available just to draw us into the stream.
Right.
You know, play the first hour of this game that's on the Netflix of games. And now for $8 a month, you can play it and 600 more.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder if we'll see more of that.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Do you guys think that Twitch has, changed that a lot? Because people now can watch people playing it and be like, oh, this is something I want to
do. You could make the argument that, that's actually a very good point you make, Kevin. You could make the argument that Twitch has in some way become the new demo. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like watching someone play it and kind of vicariously piggybacking on their experience is even though you're not actually holding controller and playing it, but it's enough of a look at the game to function in the same way that a demo does.
I think there's a lot of merit to what Kevin just said and what you just said.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. It's a good point, Kevin.
Thank you.
See, when you I credit where it's due.
I've never once said that you don't give me credit.
This from the nanobiologist. Not a question, but today is Mr. Satoru Iwata's birthday. Today, I only ask for a moment of silence to appreciate all the work he's done to make Nintendo into what it is today, and to just know that he's smiling down on us as fans for all ages get excited about another amazing Nintendo product. May he continue to rest in peace. I'm not actually going to do a moment of silence on the live broadcast because I think it might not come across great, but I do think it's a good day to remember Mr. Iwata.
Yeah, tough to do a moment of silence on, you know, this show is mostly consumed as an audio podcast, and that would just be like an awkward piece of dead air.
Yeah.
But feel free to pause the podcast at this moment and enjoy your own private personal moment of reflection.
But I think we should reflect on the guy. I love DeWater.
You're absolutely
so
right.
Close.
Huh?
You know?
What's that?
It's me kissing the switch right there.
All
right.
That, yeah.
I nailed it.
The guy influenced so many things through Nintendo history that have made that company what it is. We think about him for his modern stuff, but understand Mr. Iwata's involvement in the company goes all the way back to the 80s. And his influence. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And his influence on Nintendo was tremendous.
A true titan of the gaming industry.
Yep, absolutely. So happy to remember him today. Let's see. Let's look at this last one here by Malcontent Run-In. Hey guys, with the prospect of many incoming announcements, what do you think it means to announce too early? For instance, it was a mistake to show off No Man's Sky for years and make promises for so long. I do not believe Bethesda deserves the same kind of criticism for announcing Starfield when all they did was announce it. No gameplay, no details. I like the stance that it's always better to have the title than endure years of rumors that create unreasonable expectations. After all, look at Rocksteady. It's disappointing to hear they're not working on a Superman game. This disappointment could have been avoided had they thrown out a title years ago. Even if the title gets canceled, it's good to know it existed. Does quelling rumors outweigh the short-lived disappointment of not seeing a game at each trade show? I think it does. Curious to hear your thoughts. Thanks. Gary Whitta?
I don't have strong feelings about this one. I wouldn't go so far as to say I don't care. However, Kevin's he's totally on it right now.
He can sense it coming.
We got a good rhythm going on. What's that?
Said I'm also playing Tetris, so I'm pretty proud of myself right now.
You're also playing Tetris?
Yeah.
On the Switch?
Yeah.
What are you playing? Puyo Puyo Tetris?
Yeah, I only do the Tetris side though.
I think that's the only way you can get Tetris on the Switch.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's a shame.
For now.
Because it's a good version, but it's not the best.
Yeah, Puyo Puyo Tetris is good. It's got Puyo Puyo in it.
But I'm with Kevin. I only play the Tetris half.
Yeah, play Puyo Puyo.
Don't like it.
Would you say
I don't care? You know, every developer, every publisher has to make their own choices about these things. Would it be better if Rocksteady put out a title but nothing else of the thing that they're working on right now? I don't think so. Oftentimes there are bigger considerations if they're working on something that's a licensed property or something like that. It's not their own. It's not entirely their decision to make. I enjoy it. I kind of like that. You know, we know that Rock. Here's the thing. Isn't it good enough to know that you know that Rocksteady is in the business of making games? They haven't closed the studio.
Yeah.
And we haven't heard anything from them in a while. We know they got something.
Yeah.
We just don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And it could be anything. Maybe in a few hours we could know. Because who knows? These things get announced.
I think there's plenty of good reason to believe that it's better not to announce too early than it is to announce. Like, think about Fallout 4, where they announce it effectively, 4 months before release?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're all just thrilled. Having something floating out there, you look at Below, which 6 years, and yes, there's a lot of buzz for Below, but ultimately it's suddenly just releasing in December with no fanfare. That's not an ideal situation.
Let me put out the biggest one you can imagine in terms of speculation. Half-Life 3. Would you prefer the current status quo, which is who knows, if ever, or for Valve to come out and make a definitive statement today, yes, we are definitely working on it, no, we are definitely not? Would you rather know or not know?
What I really want is secret answer C. On this one, which is Dan Stapleton's thing, which is just one day you boot up Steam and Half-Life 3 is there. Just on the store.
Yeah, they just dropped it.
That would be the best way to market that game I can imagine.
Yeah.
Like, just, can you imagine the earned media pickup?
Oh my goodness.
Like, you never have to pay for an ad. Ever.
No.
Be amazing.
They don't need to.
Yeah, they wouldn't need to regardless.
Let me tell you something. The Valve Twitter account could press one button. They could simply tweet the letter 3, and that would be worth millions of dollars in paid media.
Yeah.
That's all they would need to do, and it's one button.
Yeah, I think
that's how much we want that game. God. Do you think, let me put you on the spot, do you think we'll ever see it?
Yes.
Ah, interesting.
I do.
A split decision.
I do think we'll see.
You think there will come a day
that a game
when
called,
we will see Half-Life 3?
A game called Half-Life 3 will be released one day.
Oh my God.
I think it'll have very little, if any, code or asset ancestry connected to anything prior, like anything prior to now or fairly recently with the last couple of years. But yeah, I think that one day we will see a game called Half-Life 3.
Kevin, why do you think not?
So I've never played the Half-Life games. It's just, I think at this point, the bar is set too high, and Steam is making all its money in a different way. A different manner.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they're making infinite amounts of money through Steam.
Yeah.
But it's a shame that, I mean, you know, Artifact just came out, but it's a shame that one of the greatest developers of all time is not really in the business of making games anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Sad.
Yeah, they got that you know, that their duel of the ancients.
Yeah, and they continue to support that, and that's obviously a big deal. But come on, we want Half-Life 3, we want Portal 3, we want Team Fortress 3,
mm-hmm.
we want all the threes.
What if we get like the three pack?
We want a new. You know what? Here's what we want. We want a new orange box.
Yeah, is what it comes with. It comes with Left 4 Dead 3.
Oh, it comes what are you doing
with
to me?
Portal 3, and it comes with Half-Life 3. All in one box.
Can you imagine?
We'd all die.
What was in the original orange box?
We just let go Team Fortress?
The original orange box was Portal,
yeah.
Half-Life Episode 1 or 2.
I can't remember.
2, I think.
Half-Life Episode 2.
Totally making that up.
And Team Fortress 2.
Yeah.
That's a good box.
What a box that was.
What's that? Yeah, TF3 would be amazing.
That was such a fun game.
Would you rather have TF3 or Left 4 Dead 3?
Oh, TF3, definitely, for me. Left 4 Dead is a great series and totally deserves another lease on life. Where I could see them maybe going with Left 4 Dead is doing what Nintendo does with second parties. Maybe just hire someone to make it and effectively have a lot of creative control over that process.
Yeah.
Like do a pseudo farm it out thing like they did like with Intelligent Systems like for a while and things like that. Yeah. No, that would make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Half-Life 3, though, you couldn't do that. That would have to be... Only a core Valve game would be acceptable.
Yeah, but there's a lot of ways to define what makes a core Valve game. I mean, at this point, they haven't made a game like that in so long, you'd almost have to reconfigure your studio anyway around it.
Right.
You'd effectively be building a new studio.
Right.
So.
Real quick, just to touch on the No Man's Sky thing.
Yeah.
I feel like the issue wasn't that they gave information out too early for that. I feel like people were just... Sean Murray was just saying things that they wanted to do that they hadn't figured out yet, or, you know, I think that was the problem there. The same as too early.
I think that they probably planned on being done before they were. That's my guess, I don't know this. I have no inside information. That game felt pushed out the door. I liked No Man's Sky.
I got to try it way before and was like, oh, okay, this is what that game's going to be, and I understood that. So
right, yeah.
I feel like the hype got too much on that one.
No, but there were things, even in the release that we eventually got early on, like the initial day one release with the patch, there were things in that game it shouldn't have been shipped with. Like, you should not have died in fighter combat one out of every five times you took off a planet when three pirates showed up.
Well, that's because you're bad at fighting pirates.
No. At that point, it wasn't because you were bad at fighting pirates. It's because you couldn't win.
I played the game pretty well.
I played the game for 60 hours.
I played it a little bit when they did the new version of it.
Yeah.
I can't remember what they called it, but they essentially re-released the game.
Yeah, right.
And fixed a lot of the problems. I played it, and I liked it.
I love the
But I feel like for a game that is predicated on... And I know that they have a creative mode where you can just do this, but the main mode of the game,
mm-hmm.
for a game that is predicated on exploration and creation and just kind of doing your thing, you die a lot early on. The first 10 minutes of the game is just trying not to die all the time. That is not the pace. Like, oh, No Man's Sky, a little bit kind of mellow, you know, chill out and play this game. I did not expect to be trying to stay alive quite as much as I did.
It shares that in common with Minecraft. I mean, until you know what you're doing in Minecraft, you're going to die in the first few minutes.
Right.
That's one of the...
Yeah, Minecraft sucks.
Oh, you just
contentious opinion.
You just go right out that window.
Another hot take. Kevin has got a lot of hot takes today.
Kevin's hot takes.
They are coming in hot.
Do you care
about Kevin's hot takes?
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin doesn't know what I'm going to say here. This could go either way. You know what I'm going to say? I do care.
Oh, nicely done.
I care about Kevin's opinions.
I want this as a shirt. You pointing.
I mean, saying I don't care.
What,
or I do care. You should get both, and people can decide which one they want. Or maybe
everyone's
going to
buy. Everyone's going to buy. I don't.
But
care.
I want it to be like the Obama style hope poster.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah,
I like that.
It just says don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Well, you got to include the eye.
You got to.
I don't care.
I think you have a new catchphrase. Like when they cut out, like when Greg cuts over you, people do like, you know, they have like the, you know, the Doki Doki thing and all that, the Rogue One, maybe. But no, he's the Rogue One. But then the moment he says the Rogue One, you're like, I don't care.
I don't want to force it though.
Let's not overuse it.
Yeah, I don't want to. You can't force a meme.
We've done this 40 times in a 75-minute episode. I think we've forced it plenty.
I'm going to be interested to see just how many times it does come up when people cut it together. We'll see.
Squad up, Chris from Wisconsin on Nintendo Switch. Hello, Gary and Jared. He said Tim and Jared, but that's not who's here. I want to squad up with some kind of funny best friends, so I have some competition in Smash Brothers Ultimate when it releases tomorrow. The hype has been keeping me awake all night, but knowing I have some opponents waiting for me just might help me get to sleep. Thank you both for everything you do. This is Chris from Wisconsin, and his number is 6681-9819-4973. That's 6681-9819-4973. Find Chris. Play some Smabra with him. Gary, you ready for that Smash Brothers?
About Smash Brothers, I do care.
Yeah.
Like I said to you before, I only ever played the Wii U version of it.
All right.
I never really super duper got into it, but this seems like if you're going to get in, I read the Kotaku review this morning that said, it does seem to hit all the right notes that if you're hardcore into Smash, you've been playing it since, what was the first version of the Smash, GameCube?
The first version of Smash was N64.
Was it?
Yeah.
First version, okay, so if you've been playing it since the N64, I mean, but GameCube is the one, I mean, that's the one they keep making the controller. Oh,
that Melee that is was, the one the fighting game the community that people is, have the fondness is enamored for. With, yeah.
So if you've been playing Smash since those days and you love Smash and you're hardcore Smash and all you want to do is Smash, this is the game. This game will deliver for you on multiple levels. If you're someone like me who's been kind of Smash curious for some for some time, but isn't necessarily ready to make the jump, this game will also welcome me with open arms. And so I am thinking seriously about coming in on Saturday after the showcase, even though I'm not in the showcase. Did I mention, by the way, how I feel about that?
How do you feel?
I don't care. I'm obviously got kind of family considerations and stuff like that, but if I can, I'm going to come in for a short time on Saturday and play some Smash with you guys and see if I can get into it.
I care that you show up. I hope
you'll be
here. I'll be here.
Okay.
I'll be here.
All the more reason for me.
I'll be here losing at Smash Brothers because I'm terrible at it.
Okay, good. So all the more reason for me to show up.
I'll be spamming down B with Kirby and I'll be spamming the arm spin thing with Rob.
Okay.
And I'll be criticizing these chumps.
I gotta find a main.
For playing on completely flat levels with no items with 8 players. Because what you want to do with one of the most beautiful, vibrant celebrations of Nintendo history with dozens of levels and hundreds of different weapons is turn all that stuff up and play on a boring plat play field.
Oh, you get it, dude. Good for you.
Yeah. I do care.
What do you got on your wrong side of
things?
Well,
we got a long one here.
Well, I think that Kingdom Hearts conversation could have got us into some real trouble.
Kebabs points out that Dota is Defense of the Ancients, not Duel of the Ancients. Uh-huh. Gary, do you care?
You got that mixed up with Duel of the Fates, didn't
you? I did.
Yeah. Yep.
Man. Yeah, Phantom Menace, terrible movie, great song.
Had great music.
Scene. Yeah, great song. A great, great editing on the scene. I mean, we forget that we're cutting away to like Jake Lloyd blowing up a donut in space and, you know. But yeah, if we just stick to the sword fight, that part's incredible. Yeah. That sword fight's nuts. Let's see, what do we got here? What else
you got?
Any
Kingdom Hearts?
I'm looking around right now. Okay. Oh, hey guys, this is from Eric K. Gary said the letter 3 when he was talking about Half-Life.
I corrected him on air. That doesn't count.
3 is a number, not a letter. Yep. Gary, do you care about that comment?
Oh, sorry. Of course I meant the number 3.
Yeah. Do you care?
No, I don't care. See, this is the thing. We're in danger of killing this thing in the cradle.
Yep. Yep.
We've got to
be organic.
This thing the first time
it's got to be organic. Not,
there's
Jared.
Nothing organic about what's happening here. Let's see. What do I got here? Oh, Mad Chemist says Nintendo's also doing a sale for the Game Awards. Okay, that's cool.
Oh, nice.
This from Brocka Rock. Sorry to report this, but Battle Princess Madeline has been delayed for release to next week in the PS4 version from Nintendo Life. Let's see. Kebab says, to make it clear, Gary, there's a subsect of Kingdom Hearts fans who hate IGN for not including Kingdom Hearts in the 2002 episode of their History of Awesome series a few years back.
Oh, so there's some particular Kingdom Hearts ire directed towards IGN.
There's a Kingdom Hearts ire directed toward all things under the sun. As the Book of Ecclesiastes teaches us, there's a time for hate and a time for hate. A time for hate and a time for hate. And among Kingdom Hearts, it is always a time for hate.
Ecclesiastes
chapter
topic.
17, verse 4. Let's see. What do I got here? Ignacio says, not all Kingdom Hearts fans are bad. I'm a fan and I'm very okay. Ignacio, I know. I already said that.
Hashtag not all Kingdom Hearts fans.
Listen here, man. I already said that. Let's see.
I think what you were saying, Jared, was that not all people who are the worst are Kingdom Hearts fans.
No.
But all Kingdom Hearts fans are the worst.
Yeah. No, not saying that
right?
either.
I feel like that's the takeaway.
Absolutely untrue.
I feel like that's the takeaway. Let's put that in quotes and put Jared Petty's name at the end.
No, yes! Definitely
and
not
And have that be the title
here.
Of the episode.
Let's see. What do we have here? Nanobiologist says, Gary, you said you don't look bothered, but deep down I could tell you were absolutely heartbroken.
About not being in the Kind of Funny Game Showcase.
I believe so.
No, I really don't care at all. It doesn't bother me one bit.
No,
honestly.
All right.
Kevin, do you believe me?
Yeah, dude. You look super honest right
I'm
now.
I'm actually really... I don't care. I don't care. It's fine.
Let's see. What do we got here? You know what? We really didn't get too much.
We did okay.
Let's see. Kebab said, Jared, you read your wrong backwards.
Did you say wrong your?
I don't know.
Are you reading bottom up?
I'm just bouncing around based on what I see.
Okay, so you're just kind of making up your own rules.
No, because typically for Kind of Funnies, you're wrong. We get 15 rows of things that are not actually your wrongs.
Yeah.
And three your wrongs that you have to pick up.
It's not a big deal.
You might almost you might almost say, Kevin.
I do care.
Do you care, Kevin?
I care as much.
I feel like I'm getting cornered, and you guys are trying to kill this joke, and I'm just standing again.
Oh, I'm trying to kill it because I mean, at this point, it's so already good. Dead. I'm just holding the pillow over its face for an extra 30 seconds.
Yeah.
To make doubly sure.
Just going just a little bit of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. There, you're just making sure Dak Nicholson is never getting up again.
That's right.
Then you're going to go pick up a big thing, throw it through a window, and escape from the asylum.
To do.
Yeah. What's that?
It was the kind thing to do.
Oh, like killing Jack Nicholson after he was lobotomized?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It was totally the kind thing to do.
He was dead already. You know
and then he picks up the thing.
It's beautiful.
That's such a beautiful moment.
Chief.
When he picks up the thing. Yeah, he picks up the thing. Oh, it's so cool. I love that movie. Really
it like a water cooler or something? It's like a, yeah. like
they
a
call
water
it the
dispenser.
Thing in the movie. Like they don't have a name for it. Nobody knows what it's called, so they call it the thing.
The
right.
Water
I'm going to pick up the thing, that thing, but right. they don't have a name right. for it.
Again, it was just a water fountain.
It's not just a water fountain. It's like a weird like countertop thing that has water coming out of it.
These are water fountains. That's what they look like.
That's not how water fountains work.
Kevin is getting salty.
Yeah, Kevin is. I think the Kind of Funny Games showcase preparations.
The showcase is definitely taken out of them.
Yeah. I need to go drop off this package.
Uh-huh.
In 30 minutes.
Is that a
downtown.
Euphemism?
Is that a euphemism, Kevin?
No.
If you need to go, go.
Do you have to poop, Kevin?
When you have a video that's fully finished, a lot of times they'll refer to it as package.
Uh-huh.
So I have to drop off this package at 2.
Like dropping the kids off at the pool?
I think he's got to poop. Yeah, yeah. Definitely. No. That's
I do
what's
have
going
to tinkle, but...
Kevin has to drop off this package, Gary.
Take the Browns to the Super Bowl?
I got to ask.
What?
Last time this episode. God damn it. Do you care?
I'm not going to do it again.
We broke
That's
him.
The final cut. That's the final cut in the compilation.
That's the final shot.
Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate your help with everything today. Thank you for hanging out with this just complete jackass circus, this absolute exercise in lunacy. We care about you very much and about the fact that you choose to be here with us every day the way you do. We love games. You love games. Come along tonight. Watch and play Smash Brothers. Watch the Game Awards along with the Kind of Funny show hosts. Then come back this weekend for the Game Showcase. Enjoy yourselves watching it. Come out. Just play more Smash after that. We want to spend time with you at all, etc. The more you tell me to hurry up, Kevin.
Oh, he's doing you.
Shake hands.
There you
back.
Go.
I'm coming back. There
We're
you.
Back.
You
We're back.
Intro or outro.
Wow, Kevin really wants to get out of here. 1 hour, 23 minutes, and 53 seconds. This is longer than the usual show.
Definitely.
We're still going if you want to finish your
Oh, wait, we're still going?
Yes.
I thought you stopped it.
I said I'm
we never,
you
We never really
outro.
Did get to talk about Plinko.
No, we didn't talk about Plinko. That's true. Do you think we should
why,
now
why
that Kevin
do you
has a pack Plinko
so much?
Oh, my God, that was a mistake. Bye, kids.
Tomorrow.